This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. And this weekend, we got word that internationally renowned Illinois-based architect Helmut Jahn has died. He was 81 years old, killed while out riding his bicycle, struck by two drivers in the western suburbs. Jahn designed buildings across the U.S. and around the world, including a parking garage, of all things, in Springfield, Illinois. But he is best known locally for the Technicolor neon tunnel of the United Airlines Terminal 1 at O'Hare Airport and the soaring glass of the James R. Thompson Center in Chicago. The building has been the subject of controversy since it opened and was lovingly profiled a few years ago in the short documentary Starship Chicago.
A kind of crazy building. It was wildly optimistic, off the wall. I mean, it was selecting Helmut to do it in the first place. That's the brilliant move.
Architecture is problem solving. I understand that not everybody likes the building, but that's the thing about architecture. No, you don't have to like it.
You don't have to like it. Helmut Jahn was born in Germany in 1940, arrived in America in 1966, and studied at the Illinois Institute of Technology. And that's where our guest, Reid Kroloff, is Dean of the College of Architecture. Dean Kroloff, welcome to The 21st. Thank you for being with us today to remember Helmut Jahn.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
So a prominent strain in Chicago architecture is the black right angle grid of Mies van der Rohe. You work in one of those buildings, I believe. And along comes Jahn with the State of Illinois Center, curving, sloping glass, bold colors, massive indoor space. Can you talk about what that building represents in Chicago's skyline?
Sure. The State of Illinois building, and then later called the Thompson Center, represents a departure from the kind of more typically understood modernist building, rectangular solid of some sort extruded upwards in the high-rise version, or in my office here in Crown Hall, a beautiful horizontal composition sits low on the ground, elegant, transparent, a one-room schoolhouse, if you will, latter day. Helmut Jahn was attempting with that building to accomplish several different tasks simultaneously. First and most directly, to house a large number of state employees that had been distributed around a bunch of other buildings inefficiently and expensively prior to the construction of that one. Secondly, to incorporate a pretty significant transit hub, and that there's an L station there and several bus lines that run adjacent to the building. And then finally, and symbolically, to create a wonderful public space, a great indoor room for the city of Chicago, which doesn't have a lot of those. They exist in other cities. We think of Grand Central Station in New York. But here he was trying to create this great public space, a soaring, proud public space that all Chicagoans could occupy. And that's what gave us that extraordinary 20-something story lobby that exists in that building. So it was a big remit for him to try and accomplish all of those things.
Yeah, and transparency, I understand, was one of the watchwords, not something Illinois government is known for, but having the glass facade. You know, I wonder, you talked about this is a grand civic architecture, but in our current political era where the fight is often, you know, on one side, fiscal austerity, on the other side is now talking about investment in human capital. Is there a place for grand civic architecture like this?
Oh, absolutely, because grand civic architecture is an investment in civic capital, in human capital, I should say. It's made to make the lives of people better, to make them, on one end in that building, more efficient and saving money in pulling all those people from all the different buildings into one. And then for the general public, as you say, the kind of symbolism of transparency on one side, but the function on the other side of being in this grand public space where life is exciting, and dynamic, you're in a city, a big city with spaces like that, but it's also functional. It's moving a lot of people around up and down in the building, and then on a horizontal level through the building to both the food court and the L stop. I mean, it's actually doing things, many things, on behalf of the people who are using it. It is for people.
You know, I've seen the building. We need to take a break. So maybe just in a few sentences, I've seen the building. When it was open, there were headlines like Ego Building and Masterpiece or Ego Trip was a question that was asked. It's still polarizing. The state is now trying to sell the building. Do you think, you know, will the building survive in its current form, and how should history judge it briefly before we need to take a break?
Sure. I hope it will survive in its current form. It should. It's a terrific building that has a lot going for it. It's too bad the state didn't maintain it and that the budgets were slashed so much in the beginning that would have yielded a more sustainable building in the long run. But there's been an awful lot invested in that building, and it would be a terrible shame to throw it all away.
It is, yeah, I think a 3 or 4 time now, one of the most endangered buildings in Illinois from the group Landmarks Illinois. We're going to continue our conversation with Reid Kroloff, who is the Dean of the College of Architecture at the Illinois Institute of Technology, about Helmut Jahn. That's coming up after a short break. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by AARP Illinois, dedicated to working in Illinois to ensure all Illinois residents are empowered to live no matter what age, color of skin, or zip code. More at disruptdisparitiesil.com.
You're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Reid Kroloff, who is the Dean of the College of Architecture at the Illinois Institute of Technology, where Helmut Jahn, the famous architect, studied for a time when he came to America in the 1960s. He is, of course, the designer of United Airlines Terminal 1 at O'Hare Airport and the James R. Thompson Center in downtown Chicago, among other buildings across America and around the world. And he died last weekend after he was out riding his bicycle and was in an accident. I want to ask you, Dean Kroloff, about the man himself. I read on Twitter someone recalled working in the same building as him in the 1990s and loved seeing him pull into the garage in a green Porsche, wearing a fedora, carrying a metal briefcase. He was literally on the cover of GQ magazine. I mean, he certainly looked the part of the sort of star architect. Can you talk about that aspect of his life and his celebrity?
Yeah, absolutely. Helmut really played that to the hilt. He was a good-looking guy and very athletic. And it's, in a way, it's not a surprise to, though it's terribly sad to learn that he passed away while on a bicycle. He was a big athlete. He was an internationally recognized sailor. And he was a person for whom precision engineering was vitally important. So, as you know, sailboats are highly engineered items, and his buildings were highly engineered items. And so, of course, was his automobile, a top of the line, Porsche. The visual image, he was a real showman, and he understood that to sell the kinds of buildings that he was making, which are often very expensive, they represent big investments on their clients' parts, and their clients are often public, cities and municipalities of various kinds. He recognized that you've got to be a strong showman. You've got to be someone who can really sell the product. And he did. And he really took advantage of it. I always thought Helmut Jahn was this great big tall guy because they shot him from below always. He wasn't. He was actually quite compact and slender. But, you know, by wearing these beautiful suits and hats and having that kind of steely gaze, and being completely turned out with his metal briefcase, he came across as big as his personality was.
How will his architecture fit into the sweep of history? Will his buildings, you know, do they bend the course of architecture? Or, as I've heard some people say, they are very idiosyncratic. Is it more of a blip or a phase?
You know, architecture is very difficult to analyze that way, especially from in a current moment. And when we look back in time, people move and change their role, way they're perceived by history moves and changes. Helmut was a very significant practitioner, and he did a number of buildings that have had a long-term effect on not only this city and the cities in which they're in, but on other architects and other architectures. O'Hare Terminal 1 is a perfect example. When he did that airport, airports were pretty dreary affairs. And soon thereafter, they returned to a phase of kind of being soaring, wonderful, welcoming gateways to cities. They had been before, but in the hands of people like Eero Saarinen at both TWA in New York and Dulles Airport. But after that, they had become pretty workmanlike. Helmut returned the excitement of flying to those buildings, and it felt like a wing. It looks and feels like an airplane airplane superstructure, and that was obviously intentional. And it carried out. And it spread across to many, many other airports around the world. So when you ask, will the influence be felt over time? Yeah, for decades and decades and decades. Will it look exactly like a Helmut Jahn thing? Will you be able to point out and say, oh yeah, that's a Helmut building? No. Helmut Jahn didn't have a signature style. He was someone who believed that every building had its own solution. What was a signature for Helmut was the absolute reliance and mastery over technology in every building that he did.
Reid Kroloff is Dean, Roe Family College of Architecture Endowed Chair at the Illinois Institute of Technology. Dean Kroloff, thanks for being with us today to remember Helmut Jahn.
Absolutely a pleasure. Thank you.